Today's New Testament reading is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder," and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, "An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Michael Schmidt from St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Manhattan, Kansas.
Common sense is supposed to be, well, common, but it's not. You should only buy what you can afford. That's common sense. But if it were common, no one would have credit card debt. Living a balanced lifestyle is common sense, but apparently it's harder said than done because there's an awful lot of self-help books out there on leading a well-balanced life. Voltaire said, common sense is not so common. Will Rogers said something very similar, and we would agree. The people in Jesus' day had common sense rules. In fact, they were rules in Scripture. They are in our Old Testament. They are what we call the law. you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. It's the fifth commandment, and it makes sense. You can't go around killing people. You shall not commit adultery. It's the sixth commandment. People today might say something similar like, you can look, but you can't touch. Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. It's not one of the Ten Commandments, but it's understood to be true. If you divorce someone, they should know about it. You shall not swear falsely, and you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. It's always a good idea to watch what comes out of your mouth, and you should do what you say. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We might say, do unto others as they have done unto you. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The hate your enemy isn't found in Scripture, but it seems to be an awfully accurate assessment of life. I mean, who loves their enemy? They wouldn't be an enemy if you loved them. The people in Jesus' day lived by these statements. They were common sense. But Jesus takes all of these statements and he reveals the true depth of their meaning. He says, not only should you not murder, but you shouldn't even hold malice in your heart towards your neighbor. And if you do, you've already broken the fifth commandment. Jesus says, not only should you not commit adultery, you shouldn't even lust. If you lust, you've already broken the sixth commandment. Jesus says, divorce leads to adultery. Adultery might lead to divorce, but the inverse is also true. Jesus says, no need to swear. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Yes, people swear in court or when taking an oath or when getting married, but for common everyday life, let your word mean something. No need to take an oath for ordinary activities. Jesus says, don't retaliate. Rather, be giving and generous. Allow yourself to be taken advantage of. Overwhelm people with acts of kindness, even when they don't deserve it. This text is law. It doesn't show us the cross of Christ. Instead, it tells us what God expects of us. It shows us the depth of the law. It's not just the outward acts that condemn, but our motives and thoughts as well. The law has three purposes or uses. The first use of the law is to curb outward acts of violence. The second use is the mirror, which shows us our sin. And the third use of the law is the guide, which gives Christian instruction on what is God-pleasing. What's interesting about the law is that it can do all three at once. When the preacher says, you shall not kill, imagine a person sitting in the congregation who's so mad at their boss that they're actually thinking about ways to physically kill him or her. But through the preaching of the law, they're reminded that they can't do this, and so they repent. They realize that they've been thinking about physically killing an individual because they're holding on to anger in their heart. And when they hear the law, they're convicted of their resentment, and they also repent. They then run to the cross and leave their sin there. And then they respond to the third use of the law, also known as the gospel use of the law, which tells them that they should be caring about their boss's physical well-being. The Sermon on the Mount, according to Matthew 5, verse 1, is spoken by Jesus to the disciples. The crowds were there listening, but it's spoken to the disciples. That's important. The disciples believed in Jesus. They put their trust in him. Not only were they being convicted of their sin as they were hearing the law, but they were trusting in Jesus for salvation. Trusting in Jesus for salvation, they would then strive to carry out the law from their heart. They would fail, and they would run back to the cross, and they would strive to do it again properly. And they would continue in that cycle. And that's what we do. Because of the new life that we've been given in Christ, we strive to live out the law from the heart. The law used lawfully condemns and kills. And then God points us to the cross. And the cross is not common sense, but it is the power of God. And by it, we're saved. I think of 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
We thank Pastor Michael Schmidt from St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Manhattan, Kansas, for today's meditation on God's Word.